Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
As I indicated earlier, we're going to start to bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament. We're going to start off next week about 13, 14 weeks, where we'll go through Luke, the Gospel of Luke, moving from Christ's birth all the way to Pentecost. We'll get there eventually, and we'll celebrate that. Last week, we focused on Joel 2, the passage out of Joel that Peter would later use at Pentecost to preach his very first sermon and would convert thousands upon the hearing of the word. I've been lucky to maybe get 200 or 300 a year, that I suppose. But he got thousands in one sermon at one session. Obviously a good sermon. Last week we focused in Joel upon the idea of turning the direction of our life, changing the direction of our life, returning to God. Returning to God because God was going to pour out on us unmerited mercy. We hadn't done anything to work for it. We don't work for this mercy. It's given to us free. Then you get the idea of pouring out the Holy Spirit and how through that pouring out of the Holy Spirit, women, men, Jews, Gentiles, free, slave, would be able to have visions. They would be able to see a future that was different than the one that they had. The passage we're going to read to you today is Jesus' first sermon. It's Jesus' first sermon in the book of Luke. And I wish I could tell you it was a rousing success at the synagogue, but it wasn't. And I'll get to some of that later in another day on January the 15th, I think. But today I want to focus a little bit about where it is that Jesus self-understands himself to be. And there's a certain amount of code that is in here for those of us that we don't necessarily always understand. For example, Jesus will say, he will read from Isaiah 61. And Isaiah, the passage that Jesus reads is a combination of Isaiah 61 and Isaiah 59. But he will read from that passage, and he will indicate to the people in the synagogue that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. He has been anointed. He has been anointed. And what he's saying is that I'm the Messiah. I am the Christ. We sometimes get this idea that Jesus Christ, that his last name is Christ. It isn't. It's a title. He's Jesus the Christ. Jesus the anointed one. So what he's saying here in this passage is that you've been waiting for the anointed one, and I am it. I'm here to tell you that I am here for that role. Later in the passage that we're not going to so much focus on today, but part of what gets him in trouble, but as you hear the passage, you may wonder, what on earth causes the outrage? And Jesus points back in the synagogue to some people that seem to get God's mercy poured out on them just like the Jews do, and he points back to a widow, and he points back to a military commander, and he says, they get it too. And again, on January 15th, we'll unpack that more, but that's what the outrage is all about, is the fact that, my goodness gracious, God is doing a new thing, and this includes people that don't worship here at this synagogue. I'm on page 61 of the New Testament section of your Bible, Luke 4, chapter 4, and I'll be reading from verses 14 to 30. I may stop periodically here and there and offer a little aside. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. Praised by everyone. That's sort of like a until here, okay? Just wait. We're going to change that just a little bit. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read. When people read the scripture, they would stand up. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. Just like we have readings that are suggested for us over the course of a year, the Jewish synagogue had a set of readings that were suggested, about a four-year cycle. And today, the reading was from Isaiah, and so the attendant is handing him this thing. And he's got probably a little yellow sticky on there saying, read Isaiah 61. All right. Jesus unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. That's telling those there that Jesus has read the scripture and now he's going to sit down and give a sermon. That's what he's going to do. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.'" It's almost like he's saying, "You were a rock star back in Capernaum. Come be a rock star here." And then the story changes. It bends. And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were so many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." Naaman the Syrian is a general in the Syrian army. "When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way." The word of God for the people of God. I got to the rescue mission late on Friday night. I got there about 7:02. I had texted Al to let Al know not to be anxious. I was in the area. I have gotten there before where he's texted me and said, "Are you here?" And I'm sitting right there next to him. But this particular evening, I wasn't there. So in order to reduce his anxiety, I had said, I'm here. And so I go up, I walk up the stairs at the rescue mission. It's raining cats and dogs. It's forecasted to be cold outside that night. And I get up at the top of the stairs, and it says, "We're full." A piece of paper is there, taped up. "We're full. Door's locked." I said, "Well, they'll let me in. Surely they'll let me in, right?" So I bang on the door. I couldn't get in. The door's locked. And I bang on the door, and somebody on the other side bangs back, "We're full." So I bang on the door again. Somebody bangs back, "We're full." I was banging on the door a third time, and finally they opened the door, and the look on the face was like, "Oh, Padre, it's you." You sometimes wonder when people are in the area of extension of grace and are being carriers of God's word out of the world, how often we hear people banging on the door, and we turn around to them and say, "We're full, no more, we've got no more room, no more capacity here, no more capacity here." Jesus is dealing in this particular passage with a group of people that seem to think they've got it all figured out. They've got it all in one bag. They know exactly what's going on, and they know exactly what's supposed to happen. And the sermon on January the 15th will deal with their anger. But what Jesus is doing here today is he's sitting there saying to them, "This is who I am, and this is how I understand myself to be. Who am I? I am the Messiah. I may be Jesus, if you were to be Icelandic, Joseph's son, but he's not. He's Jesus, the Son of God, and he says that in this passage here, I am the Anointed One. That is who I am. This connection that I have back to the Hebrew Bible is there. And I'm going to remind you by pointing myself back to Isaiah 61, Isaiah 59. I'm going to tell you who I am. I am the Anointed One. I am the Messiah. Now that had a job description associated with it. There was some perception that people thought they had of an idea of how that was all going to work. And it may include some of the things. It did include some of the things here that is laid out in Isaiah. But at the end of the day, I would say to you that part of what they expected to have happen was he would be a king. He would return in some kind of status. And the idea, frankly, about the 30s of the first century, the idea was is he was going to chase away those who were oppressing the Jews. He was going to send them back to Rome. He was going to send them back to where they came from. And Jesus says, okay, I've told you now who I am. Now I'm going to tell you my call, how I understand my call. And he then lays it out for them in the terms of this passage, which is this reminder that he has been called to bring the good news, evangelion. It's this what the word we get evangelism from. The good news, and who is it targeted to? It's not targeted to the rich and the wealthy and the nobility. Rather, it's focused on those that are broken, focused on those that are deaf, focused on those that can't see. And then he comes back again to another element of code that our ears don't necessarily understand. He says, I'm going to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I'm going to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, we hear that and we don't understand exactly what it means. But what he's saying is that we're going to proclaim the year of Jubilee. In Leviticus, there is this suggestion, there's this requirement, excuse me, there's this law that's there that every 50 years, debts will be set free. Debts will be forgiven. 7 times 7 years. And that would be the year of the Lord's favor. And it's all about forgiveness. Whether it's forgiveness of debts or forgiveness of the obligation you had to sell this piece of property. There's a whole series of things that are out there for it. And we don't know if the Jews actually did it or not. But it lays out this idea of the fact that they are told every 50 years to restore things back to the way they were and forgive the debts that have existed. Wow. Wow. So Jesus is saying here in this, I'm the Messiah. My job description is for me to bring the good news of God into the world, and it's intended to be carried to those that are on the margin of society. And by the way, part of how we're going to do this is by declaring the year of the Lord's favor. We're going to be in the forgiveness business as we go about living. Now, so as you hear this passage, what you have sort of going on is an understanding of a grounding in the Hebrew Bible. He's grounding himself in that Hebrew Bible passage that's there. But at the same time, he's saying, I'm going to bring you a new understanding of how this is all going to be realized. It's going to be realized in a different way. A few minutes ago, the chancel choir sang to you a piece of music that might have been reasonably new to you as you were hearing it through. But all of a sudden, about the last third or so, they broke into something that was very familiar to you. And the familiar was this Silent Night, Holy Night. And so you all of a sudden go, ah, the new has been mixed with the old. Excuse me. Jesus is standing at the top of the stair. Jesus is standing top of the stair, and he's knocking. And he's knocking, and he's asking, is there anybody in there? Is there anybody in there that wants to hear this good news? Who wants to be able to understand who it is that I'm, how it is that I'm calling you to be in the world? And you may sit there and say, I can see fine. I can hear fine. I can walk fine. He's not talking to you only about physical ailments. He's also talking to you about spiritual issues. He's talking to you about that. Do you sometimes hear the word of God, but you don't really hear it? Do you hear the word of God in some kind of way that it continues to focus it back on what your needs are and what you want the gospel to say? On Friday night, the praise band sang this tune called Radical Man. And it's a reminder of the fact that Jesus is radical. We can domesticate Jesus if we want to. We regularly do that. But this Jesus character, he did not annoy the synagogue leaders. He did not annoy the temple leaders. He did not annoy the Romans to the point of being willing to kill him by being this kind, lovely, loving, gentle person. He could be at times extremely radical. And what's his radical message? By coming up to the synagogue and knocking on the door and saying, knock, knock, knock. Is anybody there who wants to extend the good news of Jesus Christ out into God's world and make sure that it includes those that are blind, deaf, lepers, can't walk, all of that. And how are we going to do that? We're going to do that by declaring the year of the Lord's favor. We're going to forgive. We're going to be in the forgiveness business is how we're going to do that. So I come back to the question again, where are we in the story? Where are, you might sit there and say, he's not talking to me, but I would say he is talking to you. I would say he is talking to every single one of us at some point in time. Every one of us at some point in time is deaf to the word of God. At some point in time, we do not see the pain that is there in front of us. At some point in time, we are cripples in the way it is that we walk with God. God loves us anyway. But the time of Advent is a time for deep, intense reflection. We call it a penitential season. It's intended to be a season where we stop and pause and ask ourselves the important questions of who are we and whose are we? Jesus is sitting here saying, I know who I am and I know how it is that I'm called to be in the world. Do you? Do you? That's what the Advent message is about. It's about for us stopping and pausing and asking ourselves those fundamental questions. It's a combination of the familiar with the new. But it's also an idea that invites us to stop and pause and ask the deep fundamental questions of who are we and whose are we? And how do we understand our task in God's world? This is going to be a to be continued. I think it might be a Lucas film here in this. And the fact that we're going to sort of put a bookmark in this. So we'll come back to this again in January and again in February. But we're going to have this passage again. Will talk to us a lot. For me, it's one of my most important passages. It's the lens by which I understand an awful lot of the good news of Jesus Christ in the world.
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.